Hello, and welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans. I'm David Bailey, and over the past nearly 12 years, this podcast has taken on many forms, from interviews and audio diaries to cultural snapshots and expat reflections. You might notice some different podcast names mentioned along the way, but it's all part of the same journey, one that explores life, people, and stories from this fascinating region I now call home. If you're enjoying the listen, I'd love it if you left a quick review or rating wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps others discover the show. And if something in the episode sparks your interest or curiosity, why not drop me a message? I always enjoy hearing from listeners. I always reply.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovich Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans, the podcast that takes you on a captivating journey into the heart of Bosnia and Herzegovina and the wider Western Balkans. Each episode, we delve into the rich history, vibrant culture, and hidden gems of this beautiful country. Through engaging conversations and personal anecdotes, we aim to bridge the gap between the Balkans and the rest of the world. So sit back, relax, and get ready to be inspired, entertained, and connected.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
It's An Englishman in the Balkans here on Audio Boo, catching up with what is happening around the area. And at the moment, in this springtime in the Balkans, there's another Englishman around in the area. Bit of a crazy one, I have to say, especially doing something at this time of year. Kev Shannon is over in Serbia, which is not too far away from where I am in Bosnia and Herzegovina. Kev, where are you at the moment?
I'm currently in Belgrade, resting.
Kev, tell us, what are you doing at the moment? What is this crazy project that you've got yourself into?
Well, the crazy project, it's called Walk Serbia, and it does exactly what it says on the tin, really. It's walking through Serbia, and the idea is that I'm doing two trips. I've done the first one, just completed it, and it's walking from the north of Serbia to the south, and then the second part is walking from the south to the north. And the idea is just to find out more about Serbia, sort of try and find the heart of Serbia and meet people in Serbia and sort of research for a book that I'd like to write.
Let's talk about the walk in just a minute, but first of all, Kev Shannon, who are you? What do you do as a day job? Whereabouts in Britain do you live? Lots of people would be interested in the sort of life behind the guy that wants to walk through a Balkan country.
So, I mean, I'm 26, so I'm fairly younger, though. I'm starting to feel old at the moment. Yeah, no, I'm from Cheshire, so just outside of Manchester, really. For the past 10 years, I've actually been a zookeeper, working my way up through the ranks, really. But I've taken a year out previously and cycled from England to Turkey and back, and I've got a degree in animation, so I'm kind of a jack of all trades, really.
Why Serbia?
As I mentioned, I cycled from England to Istanbul and then back again, and it's a journey that took about a year. I sort of was cycling through, and I just drew a line from the UK to the south of France, and then from the south of France across to Istanbul, not really thinking about what countries I was going through. And I was, you know, surprised and shocked by some countries, and I came across Serbia, and I literally knew nothing about Serbia previous to this, apart from what I'd seen in a couple of Hollywood movies. So I was quite sort of taken aback by the hospitality of people in Serbia, and I ended up staying for 4 months in total, three of those months in Belgrade, and kind of fell in love with the country and the people and food.
When you talk about food, I mean, I'm always going on about it. I'm in Bosnia, in the northern part of Bosnia, not too far away from you, but it's always meat with meat with meat with meat. It's a meat lover's paradise. Do you find that the same in Serbia?
Yeah, no, it is, yeah. And then if it's not meat, it's peppers or tomatoes. But yeah, it's just meat on meat on meat. I mean, if I was a vegetarian, I'd be quite stuck, really.
Kev, how difficult is it for you to cope with language skills? I mean, Serbian is not the easiest language in the world to learn now, is it?
No. I mean, I've got a couple of the basics down, and my accent isn't very good, but I know the words. So I can say, like, hello and goodbye and thank you and, you know, basics, and I can order burek and rakia. But, I mean, a lot of it is actually mime. You know, you become quite a good mime artist because you're pointing and even drawing, I can draw. You know, so I have to draw little pictures like I need to find somewhere to sleep and, you know, gestures. People understand what you mean, and a lot of people do speak some English, and if they don't speak English, they speak a little bit of German and French, and I kind of retained some of my English and German from school, so it's a mixture of all these different languages in one, really.
I've been looking at your blog, and it seems that while you're walking, you're not staying every night in houses. You're finding little bivvy places, little places to pitch a tent. Are you not scared about doing that in Serbia?
No. I mean, I've done it. I do it in the UK for fun with my friend. We just go out and we just find somewhere to camp, somewhere quite nice. And I did the same in Europe when I was cycling through Europe. I actually spent more time camping through Europe. And no, you just sort of, you find somewhere out of the way, you know, you don't leave anything behind, any rubbish or anything, and you don't cause any disturbance, and you're literally there just to sleep for the night. And a lot of people won't bother you, you know, if you're in woods, people are always scared of the stranger in the woods. Well, I am that stranger in those woods, so, you know, people are scared of me, really. I'm just a random guy from England sleeping in their local woodland. Kind of confusing for them.
You're a bit of a novelty at the moment, I see, because some of the photographs you've been putting up on the web as well, you've been followed by camera crews and people just tagging along. So how did you become a bit of a minor celebrity for the months of February and March in Serbia?
Well, it all began with Tourism of Serbia sort of came on board, and they provided flights, and they said, we'll help with PR while you're over there. And I always, when I was here previously, I was featured in one of the papers, two of the papers, and that was really good because people sort of recognised me and offered me places to stay. So they said, well, we can handle the PR, and then we can, you know, that may help you as you go, and you can meet more people. And I didn't think it would reach such a sort of dizzying heights. It's been crazy. It's been interview after interview after interview. Then they said that this camera crew ought to follow me for a couple of days, and I didn't know it was for one of the biggest channels and one of the biggest programs, and it had sort of half of the Serbian population watching it. So that was it was quite bizarre, really. It sort of just snowballed.
It must be a really weird feeling then, going into a village, as Balkan villages are, and suddenly finding that you're a celebrity. Have you got any ego over that yet?
No, I'm still my girlfriend's warned me that if I come back with a big head, she's going to kick me out. But no, I mean, it's quite humbling, really. You know, I'm just a stranger in a you know, strange land, just walking around, and people are, you know, welcoming me with open arms. And it's what's quite nice is, obviously, I'm doing this for this book I'd like to write, and it paints a completely different picture to what a lot of people think of in the Balkans, you know.
What was the reaction? I just have to, because I get weird reactions when I make my rare visits now back to the United Kingdom, and the reactions are quite unusual. What reactions did you have before you left, when you were saying I'm going to Serbia? Did they look at you as if you're crazy?
There were different reactions. My mum and dad were just like, oh, here he goes again, he's going off somewhere. A lot of my friends thought it was a place in Russia, so that shows the level of education with those guys. But the people who did know about Serbia were just, oh, be careful, you know, be careful. Have you been there before? Yes, I have been there before. Oh, well, be very careful. You know, they don't. And these are people who haven't been to the country. It's very easy to sort of be in the UK and point things and say, oh, be careful, but if you've not been there, you don't know what the people are like, what the country's like. So yeah, there was a bit of, it's dangerous and things like that, but I've heard it all before.
You mentioned Tourism Serbia earlier on. Who else have you managed to get in to help you with sponsorship, to help you cover the costs of all this?
Well, actually, the costs were covered by me. There's no funding provided by anybody, but I have companies that have supplied clothing. So I've got Columbia Sportswear, and they've provided my clothing and my rucksack and my sleeping equipment. And then there's, like, you know, sunglasses companies, and companies who just want me to use their equipment and just get photographs. But also, there's been a lot of the individual, like Novi Sad Tourism Organization, you know, helped and showed me around the city and got me into museums and things like this. Same with Belgrade, and same with sort of Vojvodina. So there's no financial input, but there's a lot of just opening doors and providing assistance in that way.
If people want to follow you on the web, how can they best do it, Kev?
Well, I have my website, which is becauseitisthere.co.uk, which is sort of the home for all my crazy things. But also Twitter. I'm on Twitter, and it's Kev_Shannon. If you're on Facebook, you can go to Kevin Shannon:Adventurer.
So you've done the north to the south. Now it's time to do south to north after a brief break in Belgrade, right?
No, well, I'm actually doing that in July. So I go home for 4 months, and then I'll fly back in July and walk in the north. The idea was actually to do it in two different seasons, and I knew that last February in Serbia and the Balkans it was very, very, very cold, and I was kind of quite, maybe sadistically, hoping it would be very cold this time to show like the two polar opposite sides in Serbia, so a nice summer and a very, very bitter winter. But it wasn't to be. It's actually been quite nice.
You do know it's going to be 35 degrees in the summer.
Yeah, and I'm quite fair, so I'm just going to go, like, beetroot red. I mean, I was walking for one day, and the sun came out for about 2 hours, and by the end of the day, I had a slightly sunburnt face and some sunburnt hands, so I'm going to need some factor 50 or something.
What's been the highlight so far?
People, you know, people. It's fantastic. If it's just people going past and beeping and sort of waving to, you know, because if they recognise me off the TV or in the newspapers, just to, you know, wish me well. People pulling over, and one person pulled over in their car and gave me a Swiss roll. That was quite bizarre. And people just giving you food and just a pat on the back, really. It's quite nice to know I've got the support of Serbia, really.
Kev, if we can catch up with you again when you come back in July, that would be really, really great.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
And that's a wrap for this podcast. We hope you've enjoyed finding out a little more about both Bosnia and Herzegovina and the wider Western Balkans. If you've enjoyed this journey as much as we enjoy bringing it to you, please take a moment to leave us a review and subscribe to our podcast. Your feedback helps us tremendously and makes a huge difference. Thank you once again for joining us, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pachinovich Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans. So that's it for this one. Thanks for keeping me company. If you enjoyed the episode, maybe share it with a friend who might like it too. And if you've got thoughts, questions, or just want to say hello, you can always reach out. Also, if you'd like to support the podcast and help me keep telling these stories, you can drop a little tip via Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the show notes. Even a euro or two makes a big difference. So that's it then. Take care, and I'll catch you in the next episode.